are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian Peacock here with you. It's another week. It's another mailbag episode here on this Monday edition of the show. And not a lot of news, so we're going to talk about whatever you guys think we should be talking about. Looking ahead, we're going to have Cody Rourke on the show Tuesday, do a little crossover with the host of Locked On Broncos. Look at the Broncos, look at the Niners, look how things are looking around the NFL. Some big picture stuff there. And then we'll start to examine the NFC West squads and how they look this offseason after revamping through free agency and the draft. And then we're going to have to start looking at the 49ers roster a little bit more in depth and the individual position groups and start breaking these things down a little bit closer on the micro level. And we'll see who's going to be making the team. We'll make some guesses on who's going to have impact years in 2018 and what these position groups are going to look like for the 49ers going into camp this summer. As always, I do want to remind everybody and thank everybody who has been subscribing, rating, and reviewing on iTunes. We're on Spotify. You can find the podcast just about everywhere, including LockedOn49ers.com, among other articles and things. The latest from Chris Wilson there, talking about the highest paid players on the 49ers roster. I do want to talk a little bit about that today on the show as well. And by the way, everybody wish Chris Wilson congratulations on getting married. You can find him on Twitter at CGA Wilson. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can always email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Keep those mailbag questions coming. Going to hit some throughout the week and, of course, on Winky Wednesday. I guess there was one new bit of news that happened since the last podcast I posted, and that was that Reuben Foster had another charge dropped, that marijuana charge from Alabama. Yeah, that one's no more as well. That has been dismissed. So Reuben Foster's offseason is just moving along in such an odd pace. It's like early in the offseason, all these charges levied against him, and you're thinking, oh my goodness. And at one point, you're thinking, maybe Reuben Foster is not even going to be a member of the 49ers for very much longer. And domestic violence charges dropped, gun charge down to a misdemeanor, now marijuana charges dropped. And so he only has that misdemeanor gun charge left. And on June 6th, we're going to find out what's going to happen with that charge. Got to believe he's still going to be in some hot water with the league for some of these things. But personally and with the law, things are going very well for Reuben Foster. I joked on Twitter that, you know, he calls himself Ferrari Foster. He's more like Teflon Foster because nothing can stick to this guy right now. And so hopefully he stays clean and stays on that narrow path and is that beast on the field that we saw glimpses of as a rookie in 2017. Man, he could be just one of the best linebackers in the league. And so I'm hoping if he wasn't before, he's perfect from now on, so that way he can stay on the field and hopefully he stays healthy as well, because I really love watching Reuben Foster play. And another charge dropped, so having a nice little run the last week or so for Reuben Foster, getting some good news there for the 49ers. State of the franchise last week, 49ers unveiled their alternate unis for 2018, and yeah, they're going with the throwback, the double throwback, the 94 Super Bowl season throwback. There was a throwback to the 75th anniversary. And yeah, the all whites, red lettering, little black drop shadow. To be honest, we talked about it on Wednesday with Nick. It was rumored that these were going to be the uniforms they were going to wear. And I'm not a huge fan of those uniforms just by themselves, but I love what they represent. They were going to wear them one time. It's like, yeah, let's go. And I love, you know, obviously they wore them the last time they won a Super Bowl. So that's very good feels there. But the thing I like the most about this is the old helmet. That old 80s, early 90s helmet with the old SF logo in the middle. Yeah, it's a good look. Yeah, I think the 49ers did a good job of building some hype and capitalizing on the hype right now around the team. And actually, this from Darren Revelle. He's the sports business reporter at ESPN. And he said the Niners sold $100,000 in the new throwback jerseys in one day, the day after they unveiled those uniforms. The breakdown by player: Jimmy Garoppolo, 63% of that. Jerry Rice, 10%, Steve Young, 10%, Deion Sanders, and Richard Sherman, both 7% of that breakdown of the $100,000 of new throwback jerseys that were sold in that one day. It's a huge offseason volume for a jersey launch by Jed York and Al Guido. That was from Darren Revelle of ESPN. So, yeah, I guess you could say the 49ers fans are pretty excited for the season and throwing out a throwback jersey that harkens back to the days of their last Super Bowl victory is going to get some people pretty excited. And it's kind of a bold move, I think, for Kyle Shanahan and Jed York, you know, kind of riding that wave and being like, oh, yeah, and now we're going to wear the uniforms we wore the last time we won a Super Bowl, just to add to that hype. So I don't think they're afraid of all the excitement around the 49ers right now. I had caution fans on the podcast not, you know, to temper expectations a little bit, and then the team does something like this and just builds all this excitement, then it's like, yeah, whatever, just go hog wild. Dream about that next Super Bowl win. Why not? Wearing the uniforms. Let's go. Let's do this thing. So Jimmy Garoppolo, 63% of those sales, and he's got to make the 49ers a little bit of money back because he is the highest paid player on the 49ers. Referencing this article from LockedOn49ers.com, written by Chris Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo, and yeah, that mega deal he signed, is one of the top paid quarterbacks in the league now, one of the top paid players in the league. If you're a top paid quarterback, he's going to be making $37 million. This is just for the upcoming 2018 season yearly salary. He's going to count $37 million against the cap in 2018, mostly thanks to a $28.8 million roster bonus the team used to push up his cap number higher in 2018. That way he's scheduled to make a little bit less, and that cap number will be lower in future years of his contract. So really betting on Jimmy Garoppolo to hit and be the real deal, then he's going to be a little bit bargain as, based against the cap for future years, so the 49ers have some wiggle room down the road. So a smart way to do things and utilize that cap that they have now. Number two highest paid player on the 49ers is Joe Staley, coming in at $10.9 million. Still has 2 years left on his deal. Still playing at a very high level. Hopefully he is 2 years from now. And then, hey, maybe they'll re-up him again and just keep him around for a while and keep Mike McGlinchey over there on the right side. Weston Richburg, the number three highest paid player on the 49ers, which is a little bit surprising. I mean, you know, the new signees are always going to be the higher paid players, but the 49ers' third highest paid player right now is Weston Richburg. I think that might surprise a lot of people, at $9.3 million for the 20. And again, these numbers are just for the 2018 season cap number. Number four, Pierre Garçon, $9.3 million. He signed a 5-year, $47 million contract last offseason. I think it's not a very good chance that Pierre Garçon sees all 5 years of that contract. Jimmy Ward coming in at number five. He's got that fifth-year option, $8.5 million. Those first-round picks, man, when you pick up the fifth-year option, make a little bit of bank. So expect Eric Armstead to be on this list next year because he's going to have that fifth-year option that the 49ers said that they are going to pick up. So, yeah, and he may not even start. $8.5 million, he might be a top backup at multiple positions, but, you know, with the way injuries happen in the NFL, Jimmy Ward's going to be starting some games, and Jimmy Ward knows all too much about how injuries happen in the NFL. He needs to have a season where he stays healthy to earn more cash going into free agency next year. Number six, another first-round pick, Solomon Thomas. He's in the second year of his first-round contract as the number three overall pick in 2017. Number seven on the list, Marquise Goodwin. Was a free agent signee last year, worked that into a new deal already this season after 1 year with the 49ers. Good story, good player. Love me some Marquise Goodwin. So he's well worth the money right now when the 49ers have this much cap space. Number eight on the list, Richard Sherman. He's coming in at $6.2 million. Then number nine is Jerick McKinnon, who's got the backloaded contract. We talked about the front-loaded contract earlier. Jerick McKinnon backloaded, only making $6 million of his $30 million contract this year, and he's going to start to get raises here going forward, so he's got to prove that he's that every down back. And then number 10, 2016 first-round pick, number 7 overall, DeForest Buckner, in year 3 of his contract. He's making $5 million in 2018. So that's the top 10 highest-paid 49ers going into the 2018 season. You can find more details on that from Chris Wilson at LockedOn49ers.com. Which means it's about time for a little mailbag here on Locked On 49ers. But first, I got to tell you guys about the newest sponsor on the Locked On Podcast Network, Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. To be honest with you, that is, I think, when it comes to this type of item, something that you can take anytime, day or night, and works up to twice as fast because it's chewable, is, I think, a very good selling point for Blue Chew. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Thanks to our newest sponsor, Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, faster choice. It's mailbag time. We need a little sounder for... I don't know why I say it like that. We need like some kind of special music for the mailbag, I think. I don't know. Maybe the listeners out there have some ideas of something that could ring in the mailbag segments. All right, let's get started with the mailbag and go to... let's go to the Irishman. He said, when do we take to the streets over the Owens Madden cover being him in cowboy uniform over the Niners? I'll buy the pizza and the pickles. I'll show up for the pizza and the pickles. I'm not too mad for Owens because he's... just a weirdo. And so it's like, what did you expect? You know? But yeah, the Cowboys uniform, I mean, Terrell Owens is, he did his best work as a 49er. His prime was as a 49er. I'll take 49er Terrell Owens over the Cowboys, Eagles, whoever version of him any day. But, if he doesn't want to don the scarlet and gold, that's his prerogative. It's the wrong choice, but that's his prerogative. But yeah, you can still bring the pizza and the pickles, and I'm all down with that. Ooh, pickles on pizza? Oof. I wonder if that would be. I think I would try that because I like both things, but I just think it's a pretty bad combination. Let's go to Used Goat on Twitter. Do cornerback Tarvarius McFadden and wide receiver Stephen Dunbar look fast enough thus far to make it in the NFL? I liked free safety Lorenzo Jerome last year, but I think he was too slow for special teams, etc. It's a good question. I haven't seen enough of Stephen Dunbar, especially. I mean, I've seen both guys play, and Stephen Dunbar does have a lack of speed, and you even saw that in college. Tarvarius McFadden didn't look as slow as he timed, and I think you can be a step slow in this scheme as a corner, even though they're still looking for – they've drafted super fast corners as well, but – you know, Richard Sherman didn't blaze, and the Seahawks had gotten by with some cornerbacks that weren't super fast. Brandon Browner was another guy like that, big-bodied corner that wasn't a burner. But I don't know. I'm going to have to reserve the right to watch them in camp and see them versus other NFL talent and see if that speed really looks like a problem. That's a great point you brought up about Lorenzo Jerome, because similarly, man, I loved him in college. I love those instincts. But yeah, maybe he was a little slow and he didn't stick. And I think if there is a reason why Tarvarius McFadden doesn't stick, and there's the reason why he wasn't drafted, I'm sure is because of that lack of speed. And Stephen Dunbar, some fans have been pretty excited about him. He didn't pop for me on tape when I was watching Stephen Dunbar before or after the draft when the 49ers signed him. And both of those guys, by the way, if you listeners, any of the listeners don't know, Tarvarius McFadden and Stephen Dunbar are undrafted free agent signees by the 49ers. Let's move it along to Anthony. In light of Iggy and Paul getting hurt, which non-Jimmy G player could the 49ers not afford to lose? Now he throws out Sherman, Tart, Marsh, because of lack of pass rusher depth. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. By the way, Iggy's Andre Iguodala, Paul, Chris Paul. He's talking about the NBA playoffs and big-time players getting hurt or important players getting hurt because those guys aren't the best player on their teams anymore. There was a time when Chris Paul was the best player on his team. That's not the case anymore these days with those guys, but they're really important pieces. So I think this is a really good question because, yeah, you could run into some big-time problems. For me, obviously, and obviously non-Jimmy G player was the stipulation here. Well, for me, it's the players who could make Jimmy G the guy that gets hurt. So Joe Staley is number one on my list, and he got hurt last year. But that's the one that's tough, and I'm really wondering who they're going to plug in there as the backup left tackle. If Staley gets hurt, does McGlinchey move over, play left tackle? Gary Gilliam, is he the swing tackle and he's the backup at both spots? That'll be an interesting decision that the 49ers have to make. I still like Darrell Williams, who was an undrafted free agent last year. I'm looking at him, hopefully, to get some reps on the left side in camp and potentially even stick on the roster ahead of Gary Gilliam, because I think he could be a pretty good pass blocker. I like what I saw from him last year in the preseason. But yeah, I think that question is actually pretty easy just because of that reason that it's got to be. I think it's got to be Joe Staley. To Jason, the 49ers locker room has a win the Super Bowl now attitude. Are they wishful thinking or can they make a run? No, I think if you're an athlete, you have to believe you can win every single game and every single rep. And even when it sometimes seems delusional, I think that helps someone play better and be better. So when they have that confidence, they're going to win. So yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. But the last part of that question, can they make a run? I think the 49ers absolutely can make a run. I think they can do what the Rams did last year as far as jumping out there out of nowhere, what the Jaguars did last year out of coming out of nowhere and all of a sudden being this team that's competing for a title. Can they get there? I don't know. It's difficult, man. It's difficult in the NFL, and I wouldn't put them as a front runner, but they absolutely could. So a lot of outcomes this year for the 49ers. I'm interested to see how it all comes together here in year two of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's regime. Let's move along to Jeremy. Which rookie 49er from this draft has the best chance to make the next Madden cover? Oh, wow. Okay. Rookie 49er this year that could become a Madden cover athlete. That's crazy. Well, Mike McGlinchey, probably not. I can't think of an offensive lineman that's ever on the cover of Madden and probably will never happen. So you got to go to wide receiver. You got to go to, man, maybe linebacker, corner. I mean, just the position that they drafted. I think if you're putting money on it, it's got to be Dante Pettis or maybe even Richie James. I would put Richie James, the seventh round pick, the last pick the 49ers made, over Mike McGlinchey, just because that's just the way things go as far as Madden players go. But it's got to be one of the skill guys, yeah. So I'm going to say Dante Pettis has the best chance. To Jeremy. Oh, there's a different Jeremy. Jeremy number two. Do you think we are done with free agency? If not, which player makes the most sense to sign? I would say, and this kind of goes with another question, someone threw the name out. Let me see if I can find it on here. Someone threw Connor Barwin as a name of a potential signee for the 49ers to add a little bit more pass rush. And I like that idea. I would say Elvis Dumervil, that the 49ers got rid of, who was their best pass rusher last year, and I don't think they replaced him with anybody better this year. I would say that 49ers are absolutely not done. They're going to add somebody at some point. The question is that player still on a roster and gets cut in the summer from one of their teams? Or is it a trade that still can be consummated this year? Or is there a player out there that's a free agent still? I think those are two good names, Connor Barwin or Elvis Dumervil. Yeah, Michael Kendricks, a lot of people asked about. No, I don't think he's going to be an addition just because the 49ers are all of a sudden, especially after the Reuben Foster stuff, that those charges were dropped. They're pretty stacked at linebacker now as far as bodies goes. To Casey, we've seen year two of Shanahan offense before. Have we seen a year three? Should we expect more growth of the offense year to year? Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. Shanahan's, when he's the offensive coordinator, his coaches kept getting fired and his offense would start to look really good and then he'd move on to a new spot. So for him to sit there and have his quarterback long-term, he's never had that. I mean, if Jimmy Garoppolo really is an elite quarterback and he has a chance to work with Kyle Shanahan year two, year three, year four, that could be crazy. I never really thought about it in that sort of terms, Casey. That is a great point. And it could absolutely grow year to year. And it's not a linear curve or anything, so it's not just going to keep getting better, better, better. But, there, you know, I think ups and downs will surely happen. But, man, Shanahan having the opportunity to work with a really good quarterback for a really long time is something that could be fantastic. And I never really thought about it in that way. But, man, looking ahead, yeah, there could absolutely be some huge growth for the 49ers offense going forward as they continue to add pieces as well. And it's kind of poetic. Jimmy Garoppolo finally gets his shot to be the guy, and Kyle Shanahan finally gets to stay in one place and work with one quarterback long term. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Christopher is the guy that had the question about the Connor Barwin being out there. And I think that's someone that, you know, could make some sense. He's on the wrong side of 30. He's had 5 sacks the last 2 years. Connor Barwin, I could see that happening. Makes some sense. Wouldn't be against it, but I don't think he would be a fix-all either. I don't think he's that answer guy to come in and, you know, get you 10 sacks or anything off the edge. But Christopher wants to ask about my baby boy. Have I picked out a name? No, I have not picked out an official name for baby Peacock yet. He suggests Ruben Ferrari Peacock. That might work. That might have been a tough sell a couple weeks ago to my wife to name our child Ruben, especially if it was after Ruben Foster. But now I think I might be able to slip that through. So we'll see. Thank you very much for Ferrari Peacock, too. I think will work because my kid's going to be fast. He's going to have wheels. You watch. All right, let's go to Marcelo. How much did off-field issues for players like Arden Key, health for Harold Landry, and Bradley Chubb going high in the draft make the 49ers look towards the 2019 draft? Seems like there's much more talent in the 19 draft. I don't know. It's hard, really, to look ahead and know exactly what you're going to get because people looked ahead last year to this year's draft and thought Arden Key was going to be a top 10 pick, you know? These things fluctuate so much. You just have no idea what to expect year to year. So you don't just completely skip a position because you think it might be a little bit better the next year. You got to go after the guys that are there and you just got to follow your board. So I think for the 49ers, they just didn't have that pass rusher at the top of their board when they were making their selections. And I wonder if maybe Harold Landry was sort of in the mix for the 49ers in that second round range, but they just didn't make a trade soon enough to get up to get him. You know, maybe they had Cortland Sutton was maybe a guy they liked. Who knows? Maybe some of the other players that went right there in the 40s, the 49ers might have also drafted. Maybe that's why they decided to trade up, because they started to see the players that they thought were in a certain tier start to come off the board. And they thought, okay, we only have like one guy left or two guys left here, you know, that we think are in this one tier level. So let's move up and get one of the last guys we have in that tier. And it was Dante Pettis. But yeah, when it comes to off-field issues, I think that was huge for Arden Key falling. There was a number of things for Key. He had like every red flag was wrong for him. I mean, he had a rough go pre-draft because there was health, there was a work ethic, there was some off-field stuff. So, and then he wasn't productive last year like he had been earlier in college. Harold Landry is a mystery to me. I get he's a one-dimensional pass rusher. And he didn't fit all schemes, and he wasn't an every down player for everybody. So I get why he could fall a little bit because of that. But I'm thinking, you know, maybe some teams did have some injury stuff on him. I'm not sure. But then in the end, a team did trade up to get him. So they obviously saw that value in a player falling. So there's that as well. And maybe you're right. Maybe the 49ers just flat out didn't see another player aside from maybe Bradley Chubb that they thought was an upgrade over the current roster. And yeah, I have a feeling they're going to be dipping back into that in 2019 and taking a look at that pass rush, edge rush position again. We need a couple more good ones here. Let's go to Ron. He said, did you make your intro song? I did not make that song. That song is by a great band that goes by the name of Hot Snakes. That song is called This Mystic Decade. You got to check out the Hot Snakes. They actually just played in San Francisco like a week ago. To Cruz. Do you think we can average around 28 to 30 points per game this year, even though it was sample-sized? Jimmy G did it in the last 5 games. Yeah, I think the 49ers could go wild offensively. I think they're going to run the ball better, and I think they're going to have a full season of Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're going to throw the ball a heck of a lot better than they did last year as a whole. I don't know if they'll look quite like they did in the last 5 games. I think in some aspects they can be better. Obviously, there wasn't the full playbook to work with, and Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have a full grasp of the system yet. So for that reason, it could be better in some ways. And if you run the ball better, if you're more dynamic, you have more playmakers, if guys stay healthy like Pierre Garçon all year with Jimmy Garoppolo for 16 games, I mean, the sky's the limit, kind of. And even though I think they could continue to add more talent on offense, yeah, they could absolutely average 30 points a game again this year under Jimmy Garoppolo. Lee has a question. It's in the same vein of what we were talking about a few minutes ago. He says, if all goes to plan this season and the Niners have a very solid season, not expecting a Super Bowl ring, what position do you think they'll draft in the first round next year? Defensive end, surely? Yeah, I would say that's where I would put my bet on. But, you know, the 49ers have done some things that I did not expect in the first round the last 2 years. So I don't know if I have my finger on the pulse of what the 49ers are doing early in drafts. But you got to believe if things go how I think they're going to go, they're still going to need that dynamic edge rusher this time next year and next year during the draft. So I think 49ers fans are going to be scouting a lot of defensive ends and edge rushers this college football season. All right, let's end it with Devin. Who are your candidates for a breakout year? I'm thinking Solomon Thomas and Jet McKinnon. Yeah, I think Jet McKinnon could absolutely have a better year than he's ever had in his career. I think Pierre Garçon is going to surprise some people. I think he's going to be one of those players, if you play fantasy football, you could steal Pierre Garçon pretty late in your draft and have a very, very good wide receiver who gets a ton of targets in this offense from Jimmy Garoppolo. I still think DeForest Buckner is not done progressing in his career. I think year three for him could be big, and he could put up those, you know, he's looked dominant sometimes as far as pressures, but hasn't gotten home all the time. I think he could improve those sack numbers and then really put his name at the top of the list with guys like Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt, some of the top interior defensive linemen in the league. And maybe he doesn't get to the level of those two names, but he should be up there. You know, Fletcher Cox, he should be in the conversation with some of the best interior defensive lineman in the league after next year if he takes that little step that I think he can, and he's working his butt off to get there. So I really have high hopes for DeForest Buckner, even though it wouldn't be so much of a breakout because he's already a good player and he's already got a lot of respect around the league. Solomon Thomas, I'm interested to see how they use him and how he develops in year two, because he was pretty raw last year, and so he's going to have a lot of development there. Akilah Witherspoon could be a guy who, with his length and athleticism and how much better he got in his rookie season, I think he could be someone who you look at it after the season's over and you think, oh man, we got a very good cornerback on our hands there in a no doubt true, maybe if not number one corner, you know, not like shut down, say, Patrick Peterson type corner, but just a very good starting cornerback in the NFL. And part of that is that he gets to work with Richard Sherman, who's going to be a huge impact, I think, on the secondary this year, especially those corners and teaching them this system. And how about Joshua Garnett? Drop the weight, hardworking guy, he's a smart player. He was a first-round pick for a reason. Even if he was overdrafted, somebody saw that level of talent in him. So if he keeps the power he had in college at Stanford and can still maul guys, but then is slimmer, more athletic, and can get out and do the things on the move and thrive in this outside zone running scheme, maybe you got a stud guard on your hands all of a sudden in Joshua Garnett. And then, of course, the rookies, the hand-picked receivers that Kyle Shanahan picks, I'm always interested in. So I want to see how Dante Pettis gets used and how he develops, and even Richie James, who is a friend of the show. Go back and listen to the Richie James interview episode if you have not, from a couple of weeks ago. I like Richie James a lot. I think he's going to be someone who makes his presence felt on the 49ers. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for all of those questions. Be back tomorrow, keep those mailbag questions rolling in. We're going to dabble into the mailbag again later on in the week, so keep them coming on Twitter at BDPeacock or via email lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And we'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.